Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
My Lord. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. As I seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind, and say with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, and I openly declare that Allah is the one God and there are no partners with Allah, I greet you then with the greetings of peace, of Assalamu Alaikum, the peace that Almighty God gives to all of us, be upon you. And then we personally ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of us with an understanding how we have been created, or better yet, why we have been created, why we are here. And as I submit, I also pray that everyone of the human race, the human family, is submitting to the understanding, to that understanding, that the why we were created is to be a servant of Almighty God. And then we ask how. And then we ask to whom and what for and what do we do? How do we do it? And how often do we do it? When and where? Primary thing is that we do step forward mentally and willingly to ask the question and to submit to how the process is to take place. So as we go along during this month of Ramadan, the month of fasting, and we're paying attention to ourselves as we have the attributes within us to not backbite, to not gossip, to not become angry, to not lie, to not steal, and to not conduct ourselves in a way that we become lustful, or we become lewd in our manners. And as we recognize that within ourselves, we correct it, that we don't turn away from Almighty God, that we seek Almighty God's help, ask for guidance, and may humanity or the human family, ones in the human family that know of us and know of our erring ways and maybe wanting to hold it over our head or make us feel less than, only because they are aware of what we have conducted, how we have conducted ourselves. And then you too may know of how others have conducted themselves. And may we step away from the power that we feel, the ego that we feel, that we can impart to and upon others. May we fast from that. And may we fast from being in a victimized position. We don't want to be the victim. We want to be the victors. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is Allah, the one God, who has already declared in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revealed word, indicate that the believers have already won through. And that means that whatever, and I'm internalizing it to mean that whatever good we set out to do, we are already victorious in it. We just have to do it. We just have to do it. Again, we just have to do it. Whatever the it is, let's do it. So praise be to Almighty God for our willingness to be a part of this month of Ramadan, and with our recognition that Ramadan is necessary. Almighty God has already established that, and it has been established for all of humanity, all who seek to serve the Almighty. So it is not owned by any race of people. It is not owned by any ethnic group or any family. It is not owned by a certain number of people. It is a gift to humanity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a duty upon those who believe. So as we confer with any part of the human family, may we not hold this as a gift only to some. May we speak openly about the month of Ramadan as it is, as for what it is. It is a remedy for all of humanity to seek a way of seeking the guidance of the Almighty. Whether we understand the Almighty the same or not, once we declare what is, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in Quran to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may we seek then to humble ourselves, keep a heart of humility, and to ask Almighty God to keep us with an open heart and an open mind, and that we do not incur any punishment upon ourselves for thinking that, oh, we are special, whoever the we are, and that we have Almighty God's blessings over someone else. Praise be to Almighty God. So we're going to share with you while I go and mix a lap. And this, and tonight we're choosing to continue each night, inshallah, as the night of power to not be caught off guard. So we plan to read through the night, inshallah. So we'll read, and then we'll take a pause, and we'll come back. So you can check in alternately, all right? Right now, it's on for 2 hours. So the next 2 hours, we're going to be reading. We're going to be listening to the Ramadan sessions. We're just going to feast on the Quran, inshallah, God willing. If you want to participate and read from the Quran, praise be to Almighty God. If you have some sound hadith you like to share, oh, praise be to Almighty God. If you have questions that you want to share, by all means, share your questions. This is all the way through to the ending of the month of Ramadan. Our wonderful, wonderful visit that comes every month, visitor that comes every year, excuse me, in the ninth month. And once we give birth, once we're blessed to give birth to whatever we are seeking, whatever we've been endowed with, and we know it is the word in our minds, the process that we're putting ourselves through, and we're engaged in conversations that are healthy, how we lift ourselves up and out of the quagmire of conversations that aren't going anywhere, lending themselves to a deficit in our lives rather than an appreciation. So we're here to help one another. Definitely to help one another. So all praise be to Almighty God. Again, this is the Ramadan session. Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed sharing in July 2018 is the Ramadan session of 2012. Assalamu alaikum.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we hear the adhan, we say, Allahumma rabba hadihi da'wati tamati wa salati al-qa'imati. And that's translated, O Allah, the Lord of this most perfect call to prayer, ati Muhammad al-wasilata wa fadilata. Grant to Muhammad the means and the access and the way of Aku Makam and Mahmud al-Ladi wa Adam. Grant to him the exalted steps and the glorious position that you promised him. And when we say that for Muhammad the Prophet, we're really saying that for all of the prophets. For he is the Khatam al-Nabiyyah. He is the seal, the completion of the works of all of the prophets that have come before him. This topic that we were given, and it's a wonderful topic, big topic, the condition of Prophet Muhammad's heart to receive the revelation. And this, we want to talk about that, and also we want to talk briefly about this sacred month, the month of Ramadan. But the Muslim prayer service, some people have asked me, college campuses and different places I go, said, Moses' miracle, he parted the Red Sea. Jesus' miracle, he raised the dead, walked on water, you know. And they asked me, what is the miracle of Muhammad the Prophet? Peace be upon him and all the other prophets. And I said to them, which many didn't understand, the miracle of Muhammad the Prophet is that whatever he practiced in the way of the religion, we practice it exactly. There's no change and the way we perform our religious rituals as was established by Muhammad the Prophet. He is the only prophet in human history whose community follows his way of worship 100% as he did it when he was alive. No other religious community can tell you that. I'm just sharing some things with you, you know, because when I heard it, I was shocked. Yeah. You know, the way the Muslims pray, the Muslims, they put their face on the ground, you know. And do you know if you had a Bible and you open it up in the book of Genesis, you'll find that Abraham put his face on the ground. You find Aaron, the brother of Moses, put his face on the ground. You find Moses put his face on the ground. And in the New Testament, Christ Jesus, peace be upon him and other prophets, in the garden, I think it's Gethsemane, he put his face on the ground. So the Muslims in our prayer service, we have preserved what the prophets established even before Muhammad. Yes, very, very important. And also in our religious tradition, we don't talk in Jumu'ah prayer. This is the prayer service. Nobody talks. And our religion is a religion of nature. Whatever you see us do in our religion, you can see it in nature. Now, why don't we talk in Jumu'ah, in the Jumu'ah prayer? Because when you were in your mother's womb, you didn't talk there either. In mother's womb, you were quiet. You did no speaking. You listened to the Ruh, or the Spirit of God, speaking to you, and inscribing in your nature the destiny that he wanted you to reach in your lifetime. Yes, that's why Allah gave you 2 ears, and when you call their name, you put the 2 hands up like this. And most people don't understand. They see one ear here externally, but the other ear is to let you know that you have to hear internally, because your first hearing was the hearing internally. You're heard first in your mother's womb, in her body. That's your ear, one of your ears. And the second ear you have, you're heard out here in this material world. Allahu Akbar. Most people have no idea what's going on. And in the religious traditions, they call their people to prayer. And the Jews, they blow through the horn of an animal. It's like the horn. And they blow through it. And most people don't understand what they're saying. They're saying that God has created the human being with an animal body, but God wants man to evolve above his animal creature. Yes, you're a human being, and you're inside of an animal, like a man has a car, and he's inside that car. And the car can't go anywhere with all of his motor and all of his transmission without the driver being aware. So that's how they call. They call through the animal horn, and this real long horn, right? Which means it took man a long time before he understood that he's supposed to conquer the animal. The next religious community was the Christian community, right? And they called their people by ringing the bell. The bell. And that's symbolism, too. That now that man conquered his animal, God intends that man now will conquer the material matter that he's in. He shapes the matter that used to shape and influence his life. He's now shaping it. And he uses it to call the people to God, not it calling the people to it. Yes. But then Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he received the last revelation of the Quran, which is the completion of the wonderful book of the Bible. It's a completion of the wonderful work of the Torah. The Torah and the Bible were the word of God in their original essence. They were the word of God. But the Quran is the completion of the word of God. And for us, we don't have an animal horn. We don't use anything material. We use the human voice, which is the highest form of evolution of language. Allah says in the Quran, he has created everything to speak language. Everything speaks language. The bird chirps, the cow moves, the dog barks, that language, but it's more signals than it is language. I hope you understand this. But Allah created the human being to be the creature that will speak not only with signals, but he speaks with language. And Allah uses the tongue because the tongue is the fastest changing muscle in the body. Yes, the tongue. You see how fast my hand went here? That's pretty fast, isn't it? And my eyes batting, that's pretty fast. My heart is beating, that's pretty fast. But if a man tells a lie and you catch him, won't he change on the spot? A lot like that. God is a great. So I'm not trying to be human. I just thought that would help some people. God says to us in the Quran, he says, the same religion you Muslims have called Islam, he has established for you that which he made a requirement for Noah, and we have sent by inspiration to you, Muhammad the Prophet, and that which we gave to Abraham and Moses and Jesus, and that was that you should remain steadfast in religion and make no divisions among yourselves. So in the Quran, it tells us that all of the prophets had the same one religion because they had the same one God. The same one religion, the same one God. Now, if you think about this, you will see that the Islamic faith is a return to the pure religion of those prophets that was before Muhammad. And it says, like they say, it's but one God. But in the Islamic tradition, the one God is very pure. He's not born. God is not born in Islam. Moses never taught this either. Abraham never taught this. Abraham taught one God. Moses and Abraham never taught two gods. They never taught three gods. They never had any language like that. Never had a son. This is the pure teachings of God. This is the pure image of God. And I'm not talking to you people sitting on the floor. I'm talking to people who are listening. God has not chosen one tribe or one people over another. This is God we're talking about. He doesn't choose. God is not a racial God. He's not a prejudiced creator. God is what you call, in Western language, altruistic. You see, if there's a chosen people, that means that they don't eat food like we eat. They don't sleep like we sleep. You see, they don't see like we see. So if you point to me a person who's a chosen person or a chosen race, I will take you and myself and we'll see if they ever go to sleep. We'll see if they ever eat food. Now, if they don't go to sleep and they don't eat food, then we might say they're the chosen people. You see? Allah, God, we don't say that God is our father. Excuse me, and I don't mean to disrespect any people who are listening. God is not a father to anything. God is more than a father because he creates life without a womb. Man needs a womb. Man needs a wife. See? But if he's God, he doesn't need a wife. He doesn't need a womb. And I speak to those who may be Christians. You know, the great miracle that I was told, pointed to, was that Christ Jesus was special because he had no father. But he had a mother. In the Quran, it says that the likeness of Jesus is the likeness of Adam, and Adam was created from dust. If Jesus had no father, but he had a mother, Adam did not have father or mother. This is according to the Quran. So the Quran comes to knock on the door of the rational faculties of man to make him begin to question what he's been told. Now, I need to say some things. In our religion, it says the Quran was revealed on the heart of Muhammad the Prophet. And for a lot of us, we need to know, when the human being begins to develop all of his organs, lungs, kidneys, you know, all of these special organs that God made. God made these organs. None of us made these organs. The first thing to develop is not the lungs. The first thing to develop is not the brain. The first thing to develop in the human anatomy during the development of the child in the womb is the heart. The heart is the first thing to develop, not the brain, not the lungs. So this is a miracle in our religion, that the revelation came not on the brain of Muhammad the Prophet, but it came on his heart, because that's a sign that this is how God starts all human beings. He starts the heart first with all humans, whether you're Christian, Jew, Muslim, doesn't matter. It starts with your heart first. Now, I think we owe this also to say how we see the prophets. Excuse me. For the prophets, the truth of God is what reaches them. We don't say that Jesus was the Son of God, and I want you to listen real carefully. He's the son of something, but he's not the son of God. So I'm going to tell you what he's the son of. I'm not making a mockery. This is a very serious talk I'm giving now. For the prophet, any prophet, the truth of God reaches them, and it gives birth to a new person inside of them that makes them the leaders over the people. And when they receive this knowledge, the prophets, all of them, then the prophet is created in the likeness of that body of truth that he received. Now I have to give it in little some of the language. You know how you have some children? I know I was coming up, and my mother and grandfather said, boy, you look like Auntie so-and-so. You look like Uncle so-and-so. I never met him. They died, right? They walk like him and act like him and you talk like him. So they said I was looking like an image of somebody who was older than me. So we say that the prophet, no matter what you call him, Moses, Jesus, Christ, whatever, he is the son of the revelation. He's the child of revelation. And his mind is formed in the image and in the likeness of the revelation that he received. Like you were born and you look like your aunt or your uncle or your mother or your grandparent. I'm trying to make it real simple. You shake your head, yeah, if I'm making it, you can't talk. But if I'm not making something, shake your head, no. When truth is received in any person, I'm talking about Muhammad the Prophet now, how he's special. But talking about Muhammad the Prophet, you should be able to see Moses clearer now. You should be able to see Jesus clearer, because all of their development came the same way. The same identical way, no different. So when truth is received in any person, and that individual conforms his mind in perfect accord with that truth, and there's no conflict in his mind with that truth, whether you call it Bible, Quran, Torah, he then can be called the expression of divine truth or the manifestation of divine truth or the son of that truth. But he's not the son of God. Yeah. I hope I'm making these. What we're discussing with you now is mysteries. I'm a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And we are sharing the mystery of Christ. This is the mystery of Christ. Christ is seen by too many people as a physical body. But in the sacred, wonderful scripture of the Bible, it says, in the beginning was the Word. It didn't say in the beginning was the mustache. In the beginning was the blue eyes. In the beginning was the blonde hair. It didn't say that. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word took on flesh. You see? Now, people say, oh, that's too spiritual, man. I can't understand it. Listen, in the beginning, you want to be a doctor? In the beginning is the doctor book. You're not a doctor. The Word is before you. Am I right or wrong?
Right.
And then that Word that you at college, you're smiling. Your face is smiling. You're getting it. You'll get that book, those words off that book off the shelf. You'll stay in there for 4 years. Now, that Word in that medical form will not take on your flesh. You don't understand it now. We're trying to make it real simple. In the Quran, it says the same thing, but the language is a little different. It says, Ar-Rahman, the beneficent God, Allam al-Qur'an. He's helping me. Thank you. Well, no, I'm troubled. I'm having trouble. And God taught the Quran. Look, then what does it say? Khalaq al-insan, and he created the human being. What does it mean? I've heard people say, that's backwards. You've got to have a student, and then you teach the student. No. What is the Quran trying to tell you? The Quran is trying to tell you that if you don't have scripture and if you don't have knowledge in the human being, He is an animal in human image. Did I make myself clear? If there's no knowledge in my body, I look like a human being, but I'm going to act like an animal. Praise be to God. We're breaking down. I'm trying to help Christians and Muslims all at the same time. So I'm not controlling my emotions. You know, I can go to it like the average preacher. It's not that the person is God when he receives it. We mean that the creator's mind, as it is contained in the revelation, is in that person. And God's mind then dominates that individual who receives it, and it rules out everything else in that individual. You'll see. So inshallah, we're gonna see a lot. So why did Moses come? Why did Jesus come? Why did Muhammad come? We need to understand these things. Not the theater presentation. Cecil B. DeMille, you turn on TV. That's not Moses. You turn on TV, you haven't seen Jesus yet. You see, they try to do that with Muhammad. Yeah, they tried it. God only raises up prophets when the natural truth that he put in creation becomes distorted and corrupted. Creation talks to you. Believe this or not. Material matter talks to you. It guides you. You see? If you can't see but creation talking to you, look at your own body. When you're hungry, your body talks to you. Right? And if the pain don't move you, it'll start going, right? It's going to reach you consciously one way or another by sound or discomfort. I make myself clear, huh? The physical body, which is the quintessence of creation. This physical body is dirt that's walking and talking. You hear me? Lord God. Then the dirt here, iron is in this thing. Zinc is in this thing. Gold is in this thing. Right here. Allahu Akbar. And I heard some people tell me they got mad at the human society. I'm leaving the human family. And I'm going to go out and live in the forest among the animals and the trees. Listen, the animals don't want you either. If you can't qualify to live among your own species, they don't want you. You know, and they say, well, I don't understand what you're talking about. In the Quran, it says that we have made animals and communities just like you. Doesn't the Quran say that? So what does it tell me? God never sent the animal to Moses or Jesus. You ever notice that? They didn't get a Bible or a Quran. Animals. Why? Because they don't disobey God. Do you understand this? They are flesh just like your flesh. But they will never disobey God. Never smoke a reefer. Never drink wine. Animals will never do it. So if you leave the human species, they go among the animals, they're going to reject you too. Because they say, we are perfectly obedient. There's no place for you here. Going on, brothers and sisters. Plus, the environment we live in is disordered to influence you over and against. Then creation stops speaking to you. You see? It can't talk to you anymore. The signs are there, but we can't read it because somebody has disturbed the way we are to understand this material matter. I don't understand what you're talking about. That's too different for me. If you want to know which direction you need to go in, just wait till the morning and creation is going to tell you. If the sun is going to rise in the east, right? It rises in the east. Now, once it rises in the east, it has already told you where west is. It told you where north and south is. You see? Creation has a language. But for most people, they can't understand the language no more than the average one of us can understand a language other than English. You see? We can understand a language other than most of us. If a man starts speaking French, we can't understand. If he speaks German, we can't understand. You follow what I'm saying? So just as a human being can't understand different languages among men, for most humans, they can't understand the language of creation. And let me tell you this. If you ever get sick and you go to a doctor, the doctor will ask you, what's wrong with you? And you'll start saying, my stomach hurt, my leg hurt. They'll say, you start talking, won't you? Yeah. You know, I'm not trying to set you up. But then after a while, what's the doctor going to tell you? He's going to tell you, shut up. And what he's going to do? He's going to take his stethoscope and put his stethoscope on your chest, on your lung, over your heart, isn't he? Why? Because he had learned how to interpret the language of the body. Yeah. So we are to see Muhammad the prophet in this way. That when God inspires a man, God reveals a message on that man's heart, reveals it on his conscience. Whether you call that man Muhammad, Moses, Jesus, whatever, doesn't matter. The heart doesn't have a language necessarily like Arabic and English. No. The heart is an organ that responds to moral issues. See? Now, look, I have to demonstrate. You see my fist here? This is your head. See my elbow here? This is the heart. It's almost like how I said it. When you were created in your mother's body, you're in this position. You understand what I'm saying? Like when the Muslims would make prayer, you put your forehead on the ground, right? For 9 months, you're in that position. And your heart is over your brain. Am I making that look clear? And after the heart has developed, then the brain starts to develop. And over time, your heart stands the brain up. That's why you stand there. Oh, listen, I'm talking to you, but I'm trying to describe something for the people in the listening audience. When that baby gets 9, 10, 13 years old, 20, 25, 40 years old, even you right now, if you do something that's disrespectful to your dignity and you do wrong and you are caught and you know you are caught and a good person is talking to you, do you ever notice what happens to your head? Your head will drop down in the position of your heart. You follow now what I'm telling you? When a person prays real heavy and intention prayer, you watch them. I don't care if they're Christian, Jewish. If they're really intention at prayer, you'll see the head do what? The head will drop down. Just like this, trying to go back to its origin, back where it started from, saying that this message that I'm saying from my mouth, this prayer that I'm saying, no matter what that prayer is, if they're sincere, yes, they're recognizing that the prayer that they're saying is too heavy for their brain. But it has to go down to the heart that stood it up in the first place. Allahu Akbar. In Christ Jesus, he said, to the rich man, that you will not enter into paradise unless you come as a baby. And the rich man said, well, how can I do that? Do I enter back into my mother's womb? You see? So the prayer of the Muslim is an answer to that. What do you mean it's an answer to that? The most sacred position of the Muslim in prayer is not when he stands up, not when he bends on his knees, but it's when he puts his forehead on the ground. You understand? By putting your forehead on the ground, it's symbolic that God has given you the ability to return to your original innocence that he started you with day one. That's what you're doing. How about I'm helping you? So every time you go on a session like this, if you really know what you're doing, that means God has given you permission, if you will be conscious of what you're doing, to go back to your original innocence. You don't lose the innocence. It stays with you. But you lose your consciousness of the innocence. Oh, man, I overheard you. Let me go on to sleep. I'm going to hurry up. It says, Daddy, can't keep having my raven feet. That is the book. Right? You heard this. But they don't translate it as that, do they? They translate it as what? Daddy, can't keep having Daddy, can't respect. And far away. They say, this is a book you say has that. I'm being technical. Grammar. I got good grammar man right here. Has that kitab would be, this is the book. So if this is the Quran, I got it in my hand. You can't say has that and be reciting the Quran. If it's even in your hand, you had to say, that is the kitab. Why is the person saying, that is the book, and the book is in his hand? Because the Quran, Allah is trying to get you to understand, he's not talking about where the book is physically. He's talking about where the book is consciously. The book is demonstration of the Bible, the Quran, and the Torah is far away from your behavior. And that is the book that you need to bring closer to you. Allahu Akbar. I hope I'm helping you a little bit. let me finish this, inshallah. We can stop. The solid and scientific position in religion is that the human mind cannot attain rational fulfillment without the aid of divine revelation. That's our Islamic position. You see? Now, let me say this to the listener, because I had people argue with me. Listen, we didn't say man cannot develop materially without Scripture. Man develops materially without Scripture. But man did not develop humanly without Scripture. I hope you understand the difference. Yes, before Jesus, before Moses, before Muhammad, there were great material civilizations, huge, big civilizations. But they treated the people as barbarians. They had no respect for the common masses. You understand that? It wasn't until Scripture came that the human being received his rights as a creature of God. Not before Scripture. It didn't happen. Allahu Akbar. So let me finish this here, and inshallah I'll sit down, because I see I'm boring you, and I got to and I don't want to do that. You know, it says, and enter you by way of one of the two doors, or it may say enter you by the two doors. Depends on what you're reading. And most people have no idea what it's talking about. The two doors that it's talking about is that you have to enter through the sensitivities of your heart. That's the first door. And if you keep your moral sensitivity of your human heart, if you will keep it, the human heart will open the door to your brain. And the door to your brain will constantly expand itself as large as the universe itself. See, you have to understand your wonderful creation that God did. Tell you're wrestling. I see your face wrestling. The language is different. Your physical body is like the skin of a balloon. And you are like the air that you blow in the balloon. You understand now what I'm saying? Without the air in it, the balloon is flat like my hand, just like this. But if you blow in the balloon begins to expand, doesn't it? It expands more and more and more with the more air that you place inside the balloon. Well, that's the same thing with your reality, the same thing with your identity. You are not the physical body. You are the abstract spirit in that body. And there's no limit to the potential that you can achieve when you come into this understanding. But you have to first go through the door of your heart. You have to be morally right. And once you're morally right, there's no limit of what the human mind can achieve. Allahu Akbar. This is the benefit and the wisdom of Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. For the creation that is the highest is not the mortal flesh, is not the bones, it is the creation of the spirit, the soul, the intellect. The whole abstract person is created to live in an animal vessel. Okay, and hope the human mind must take in food in order to put out. The physical body has to take in food in order to do work. More importantly, the human mind has to take in food. And more than any other organ in the body, the mind serves to transport the body. Most people don't know this. In the design of the natural function, the mind develops beyond the limitations of the physical human organs to become the world's most trusted tool. Now, why do you read the Quran every day, 1:30? Why? You know, the greatest vehicle to transport man, they said, one time was the car, one time was the bus, one time was the train, you see what I'm saying? One time was the airplane. These are vehicles that move people, aren't they? They're called people movers. But the greatest transportation for human beings is ideas. Ideas. So sacred scripture is that body of ideas that moves millions Muslim. You must. What does a Muslim mean? The Muslim means fulfilling the growth potential that Allah put in your very being. That's Muslim. Muslim is not a label. Muslim is a function. It's an action. And that has to be in agreement with the plan that God established for that life. Muslim, I'm trying to talk to the non-Muslims so they'd be comfortable. Muslim is a life force living and progressing to reach the ultimate self. The little baby outside the mother's womb, that's not the ultimate self. The teenager is not the ultimate self. I'm 21 years old, that's not the ultimate self. I'm 65 years old, that's not the ultimate self. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? So the one who's conforming to the excellence that God clocked into his genetic being, that is the Muslim. And I guess a Christian will say, well, that's my definition too. You see? You know, honorable people, you cannot see life unless you understand. The greatest gift to humanity is not life. You know, breathing, I breathe. They say I'm alive. That's not the greatest gift. The greatest gift is guidance for that life. That's the great gift. And they told me, they said, well, they destroyed the Library of Alexandria. You heard of that, right? This great Library of Alexandria. They burnt it down. This is the library of our ancestors. They didn't burn it down. They took your ancestors' books out, and then they burned it down. They ain't stupid. They say, those people are wise. I'm talking about the people of Songhai, Mali, Timbuktu. You follow what I'm saying? They went and took the knowledge out, then they torched the building so that you couldn't see that the great wisdom that you got now is from your ancestors. You'll think it's from them. But look what God does. You can destroy maybe the forms of knowledge, the book, the CD, the video. You can set that on fire, can't you? But you cannot destroy the source of knowledge. And you can't destroy the tools of knowledge. What's the source of knowledge? The universe itself. What's the tools of knowledge? Your five senses. Allah Akbar. I hope I'm helping you. Yeah. So, let me finish this now. It says, وَلَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادًا فَمَنْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Says you will return to us as we created you for the first time. This is God talking about the human being. We're going to create, you're going to return to us. Everybody wants to go to God. Say, but now Quran says you're going to return to us the same way we created you the first time. See? This is what God says. So what is God telling us? He's telling us something very simple. When he started me off in my mother's body, I didn't smoke cigarettes. I didn't drink wine. I didn't drink alcohol. So that's the way I started. So if I picked up these little weak bad habits, right? Since I've been out of the womb, then I should know that I can't go back to God in that condition because that's not the way he started me. I hope you can see that, right? So God is letting us know, yeah, you're going to return to me, but you're going to return to me the way I sent you in this world in the first place. Yeah. This is great wisdom in the Quran. So it says, man's beginning was in the original environment. So let me finish here. Give me about 5 minutes and I'll be done. No, no, God did not give us any influence over our beginning. For 9 months, mama couldn't do anything. Daddy couldn't do anything. We couldn't do anything. God was working on us. And he worked on that physical body that you have to make it perfect. The body you got right now, you could be a diabetic like me. Kidney's gone. You see? But that's not what God did. That's what we did, right? We messed that up. But he gave us a perfect entity, right? Now pay attention. 9 months he made this thing perfect. And God knew that you would be lonely. You, the soul inside. Not your body. You are not the body. You are the soul inside. I watch some faces, they wrinkle like this when I say this. But you got to understand, when you get in your car, you're not the car. You drive the car. The car takes you from one point to another. Do you understand that? When you get to your destination, what do you do? Do you stay in the car or do you get out? You get out of the car. Okay, so the physical body is your vehicle, transportation, from one point of of a beginning to the point of destiny in this transitory womb. Allah Akbar. So look what God did. For 9 months in darkness, he made this perfect life, and now in Ramadan, what does he tell you? He asks you to fast during the month of Ramadan. What month is it? It's the same month that you came here in. You were born in what month? The 9th month. And when does Ramadan come? In the 9th month. Because Allah is telling you, look, I put you in a womb and made your body perfect. Now I'm going to give you the opportunity to put yourself in your own mental womb and make yourself in perfect order to complement this perfect body that I gave you. I hope you understand this now. And then you don't eat in the daytime, do you? You don't eat in the daytime. You don't drink in the daytime. Why? Because you didn't eat in the daylight in mama's body. You ate in the darkness in mother's body. Oh, good God. I got to control myself. Like, I'm about to do a little jig dance up here. Right? So the Muslim, when he breaks his fast for 30 days, he can't eat in the daytime. For the month of Ramadan, he fasts. He can only eat at nighttime, which means that God is trying to tell him, I want you to eat only ideas that are natural. And the first thing you eat is dates and you take water. You can't eat a Hostess Twinkie. You can't eat a cupcake. You can't eat a hot dog when you break fast. Why? Again, it's on a pattern of nature, because you didn't eat that garbage when you was in mother's body. She might have eaten it, but it didn't pass the placenta. God put a barrier for you in her body. Well, sin and crime cannot cross it. God Almighty. Allahu Akbar. Look at this creation that God made you. And you think that God stopped with that, to leave the placenta there that can't cross, to affect you? No. God gave you a brain that's also in a placenta that's up here. It's covered by 3 layers. Excuse me, I hope we control this. Kaza, you got to change. And in the Quran it says, and we created man in 3 veils of darkness. Is that what it says in the Quran? Yes, down here. Look, see here when she's pregnant, it's 3 veils there. 1, the skin. 2, the uterus. 3, the placenta. Do you see the 3? And with the 3 that's down here, God makes you have 3 up here. You have 3 layers that cover your brain. Good God Almighty. And how come we don't have baptism in Islam? I'm finishing. You know why we don't have baptism in Islam? Because you were baptized in your mother's body for 9 months. God washed you up. This is the teaching of Muhammad the prophet. You see why he's the last prophet? Because he brings the natural knowledge. Why do I want to baptize something that God already made perfect? Excuse me. The only thing you can do is take a bath. But you can't baptize with God, man, because you can't touch his excellence. You know why you're so intelligent? Some of you, I talked to Imam Ali. He met me there for that man. Look here, I thought I was back in college. He's a PhD. He can go with the Imam over there. Wow. He just was talking. I thought I was heavy. I got humble, and I just didn't have a paper and pencil. And it just was quite happy. I didn't say that much. And Allah bless me through that to know that many of you follow the Imam Muhammad in the same way. But why are you intelligent like that? You know why you're intelligent? Because your brain is not like my hand. See how I'm standing up? This is not the position of your brain. Your brain and your body is in this position. It's in sector. You hear what I say to you? And because your brain is in sector and it's constantly bathed in water, it's always in wudu and ablution. That's why you are intelligent. You're constantly clean by the water that God put in your head. Some of you didn't know. I didn't know that. Man, Muhammad taught me that before I went to medical school. When I went to medical school, I said, wow, this is what he taught me 10, 15 years ago. I said, this man surely is blessed by God. Yeah. I went back, I had to go to medical school to see that he was right. I didn't doubt him, but I'm just saying, you know, you had a Quran say it. If you don't believe it, go ask the people of the book. So I went to the people of the book. So I have to start now. Now, let me finish this here. For the Muslim, he has to read 1/30 of the Quran for 30 days, And if he does it for 30 days, he will read the entire Quran. He'll read it. Excuse me. And why is he reading it? Because the human development without the Quran, or without some scripture, is subject to environmental influences that have a way of altering the internal functional life of the person. You see? So God has to come into his into your environment with his word. See? Am I making that clear to you now? Why are you reading the Quran? Yes. And if those who, if you have your sacred scripture, you should know why you're reading your sacred scripture. The soul of the inner person is awakened by this and is freed from improper attachments to material things. I say improper attachments. You see? So, now, let me finish. It's going to take me, let's see, about 30 seconds. So what is the Ramadan fast doing? The Ramadan fast is trying to wake people up. You know, if you're sleeping and the house is on fire, somebody say, good, what are they going to do? They're going to try to wake you up, right? Come on, wake up because you're sleeping. The average human being is asleep to the fact that he's not or she's not her physical body. And I keep saying this over and over and over because this is where the problem is. We identify with what we see in the mirror. You see? But God has made you in a small way like he is. God. You cannot see God, but you can see the things that God made. Listen carefully. You can see the sun moving, but you can't see what's moving it. You can see the moon moving, but you can't see what's moving it. You can see the clouds moving, but you can't see what's moving it. So God made you a little bit like that. You can see my hand moving, but can you see what's making it move? You can't. My foot, I'm raising it up. Can you see what's making it move? You cannot. God, he hides the most valuable part where it cannot be seen by human eyes. Allahu Akbar. Because if they could see that, you and I would be in slavery forever. But God has hidden that. Alhamdulillah. So the Quran, it comes with, so look here, look. I can't eat food. And I can't eat drink. My stomach, give me some. It's making all kind of noise. My throat is dry and parched, thirsty. Why is it doing that? Because it's trying to separate you from the body. It's trying to let you know, look, you're existing without even feeding the body. Because it wants you to conquer the body so that when death comes, you won't die with the body. You will survive the death of the body. Isn't this a powerful insight? Good God Almighty. God has given you a flesh body that is your contender. It will contend with you. It will fight with you because it wants to build the muscles of your intellect, the physical body that you have. And if you don't think it's perfect like what I'm telling you, God says that in the last day, your hands will bear witness against you. Your feet will bear witness against you. You don't have to die to see that. Come and see me. I'm a doctor. No, I'm a real doctor. I'm a real life doctor. And I can tell if you've been drinking alcohol. I know how to read your eyes. I know how to take your blood says, yes, you had a few. I don't mean a five prayer fit. And I'm not talking about Muslims now. Muslims. After you in this room, y'all don't drink. Y'all don't smoke. Okay? So the purpose of the fast is to wake me up so that I know I'm not the body. But I am the abstract reality, the mind, the thinking, the life force that drives life. So because many of us have lost selfhood, see that selfhood we talk about, selfhood. You know when we get like prayer in a minute? When we all line up to call the man, call that FARD, F-A-R-D. But when you finish that prayer, you have to make prayer by yourself, don't you? And they call that prayer sunnah. Do you know the people watched Muhammad the Prophet for 1,400 years? And they saw this, people following a leader, then they had to pray by themselves. You know what they did? They took your prayer. They took your concept called Sunnah prayer, and they took it into a world language, and it becomes autonomy of the individual and autonomy of the nation. I'm telling you they got that from Muhammad the Prophet. And when you go to make Hajj, they copied Muhammad again. When you're going to make Hajj, you see every nation in the world in that one city of Mecca. Am I right or wrong? You know I'm right. So they studied Muhammad again, and they came up with the UN. That's the closest they could follow Muhammad. I can speak to show you all day long the son of Muhammad in the practical life of man. But they just won't tell you that they got their great insight from the religion. They're not grown up yet. So you have mother, you say, I'm finished. She got selfhood. You have father, you say, he's fatherhood. Don't you say that? Motherhood. Fatherhood, right? And you live in a what? Neighborhood. What's the purpose of motherhood? What's the purpose of fatherhood? What's the purpose of neighborhood? What is its purpose? It's sunnah. But you call it selfhood. Allahu Akbar. So many of us, because we lost the sense of health, selfhood, which is a comfortable ability with self to manage self, where the inner person has the tools of knowledge to be able to manage and direct and channel that inner life, where that inner life sees the dignity and is conscious of that dignity. Because so many of us lost that, we have the ritual of prayer. Hope in time, by doing it so much, is no longer a blind ritual. It's a conscious awareness. Allahu Akbar. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? See? You should see your faces. Your faces are wrinkled free now. Islam and Muhammad, the Prophet, Christ Jesus too. They want a government and an individual. That's not the most important thing. They want a government in the ummah. You see? So I'm finished. You take the fast. Who are you taking the fast for? You fasting for Allah. Do you fast so that your skin will be clear? No. Do you fast so you lose weight? No. Do you fast so you can think faster than anybody else in the world? No. You don't do any of those things. You say, oh, God, I fast for you. And what does Allah do? Because you fast for him, he gives you all of those things anyway. He makes you look good. Look here, y'all looking so good. I tell them everywhere I go, I need some sunglasses. Tazim, you got my sunglasses, man? Yeah, I know you see me going like this here because your face is beaming so much with the light of God off your face. Some of your faces got like look like you put Vaseline on it. There's no Vaseline there. That's Allah doing this. And Muhammad the Prophet says you will know the believers because their skin will shine from the obedience of God that's reflected through their skin. Allah Akbar. So may Allah reward you, your wonderful community. You're very strong in order to host this Ramadan session following Imam W.D. Muhammad, the follower of Muhammad the Prophet. Allahu Akbar. And this community is the community of Muhammad the Prophet. You hear me? This is Muhammad the Prophet's Ummah. This right here. Did you know they call me Imam, don't they? They say he's an Imam. That ain't the big word. You know where Imam comes from, the word Imam? It comes from the word mother. Most people don't know this. It comes from the word mother. And how come she's not an Imam? Because Allah gave me something to do. She don't have to be an Imam. She gave birth to Imam. Didn't she give birth to Jesus? Didn't she give birth to Muhammad? Didn't she give birth to Moses? And then what she do? She rocked the baby. She teach the baby. She changed his diaper. She's the first and foremost of the personality. Brother, what are we going to do? We ain't got no little job. You get up front there and lead us. Because the big work already been done, right? That's why Allah put her behind us. See, most people say, oh, she's behind her because she's inferior. She ain't behind her because she's behind because if you fall, she'll catch you. You don't know your religion. You don't know it. You say, I don't know what I'm talking about. I do know what I'm talking about. If I make a mistake in the prayer and the brother can't say it, who can do it here? And look what you do. Look. When you pray, your hands go here. Look. When she prays, her hands go here. Good God, you don't know where that's at. It's telling you this, brother. When you was helpless, you had access to me. And you said, 2.5 years. But Allah told me to shut you out. Force him to be a man. Everything in the religion has powerful meaning. You see, everything she does is to make you a man. Allah says, "Harrijalu, how amuna, I understand." And you be the standards and maintainers for women. Allah says this. Why he tell you to stand up? Because she stood up here for 9 months. Did she not? Look, she stood like this with you in her. And then at the 9th month, hell, you put her on one knee. That's why my mother told me that. I know sisters back in that, but how do you know I did that? But most of our head brothers did that to our mother. So she, look, go down one knee like this here, right? And then what she do? She get up, change her diaper, 2 o'clock in the morning. She go, and I'll be able to turn the car and call, and Nisad means the woman, but it's close to the word, close to every word, Nisad, which means he forgot. He forgot that she would forget to feed herself in order to feed him. Is that not your good mother that you had?
Right.
So if she stood up for you with all those 10 years when you couldn't protect yourself, you're obligated now to stand up over the womb that gave you life and protect sanctuary of life. And when you say male, you say rajulun. When you say man, it's rich. Sound the same, don't it? What's one change in the Bible? Allah's telling you that if you're going to be a man, you got to stand and move. And the other name for a man is Zakarun, male. And what's closer to that? Yikrun. Think. Allah's telling you, you're not a man if you're not going to think your way through your problems. Allah is love. Thank Allah for your man, W.D.
Muhammad.
Thank him for Prophet Muhammad. Allah is love. I'm finished. Allah knows, but if my heart don't want to go. But you're too good. Woo! Brother, I can kiss you right now. I ain't no homosexual. I got 10 babies. But you look so beautiful because you're fast. Just make somebody just embrace you. Right? Allahu Akbar. So we say, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan innaka antal wahhab. Ameen. So I hope the radio station will edit out a lot of the trouble I said. So we'll make the comments and do it in the email. Thank you. So if there's any good...
Praise be to Almighty God. What a blessing, huh? What a blessing. Praise be to Almighty God for the sharing of Dr. Nasser Ahmed. And that was the 2012 Ramadan session. If you have any questions or comments you'd like to share, please press 1 on your phone as we continue on. This is a night that we just choosing to the rest of the night of Ramadan to seek Almighty God's pleasure and to seek Almighty God's guidance and to find out within ourselves where we are. And as true, as believers seeking to be connected with the truth, only Almighty God can guide us, and only Almighty God can bless us, and only Almighty God can forgive us, and only the mercy of Almighty God can be upon us. So this life is for real. There's absolutely nothing in this life that can save us, but Almighty God's blessing will do. And so now we go to the Ramadan session of 2006. Imam Warith Deen Muhammad Rahimahullah Late. This was of October 13, 2006.
I believe it's going to grow as big as
stages they used to be in. It was big. Yeah, it's growing fast. So we're going to have to find a larger place. I promise you next Ramadan sessions, inshallah, when I say inshallah, because we never know what's going to happen to me or anybody. But I think I feel now like I got most of my life ahead of me. But that's the spirit, you know. So inshallah, we will definitely get away from this situation. We won't have it like this. We'll find a bigger place. We have a place to accommodate everybody, because I don't like that you're inconvenienced like this and standing and others sitting. I don't like that. So I promise you next year it won't be this way. You'll have a place to sit. But now this is the kind of, this when we want the press to come in and report. They like to report when you got empty seats. So inshallah, we'll remedy it some kind of way. Even if we had chairs, there's no place to put the chairs. Yeah, so we're going to have to get a larger place. And we got people outside of the area too. I know we have them over here. Isn't there a line over there coming from the mic so they can hear us in that area over there to the right? They were supposed to have that area. What happened to our plan to have that area with a mic over there? I mean with a speaker over there so they can hear me. That was our plan. I don't know what happened to it. And I was told that the hotel had agreed that we sit in that area and we're going to put a speaker over there. So we should be working on that. Brother Yusuf, you and Brother Rafa and the security brothers, check that out and see what happened to that. We were told that they wouldn't have any activity over there and that we could go over there. See Brother Rafa, he's the one who gave me that information. We're going to begin now the khutbah today, Jummah khutbah. Today, the two-part lecture. Was on the relationship that man has to the universe. But man here is plural. It means the community of human beings. Community of human beings, descendants of Adam, the first father, Adam. And its relevancy, its importance for us now, past, present, but most importantly, its importance for us now, in this time that we're living in this world, in this crowded world we're living in. We believe in the timeless nature of revelation, the Quran, revelation, our revealed word from God. The Quran and what was revealed before, it is timeless. That is, it fits all times. It fits into all times. The essential nature or essence of human life created by God does not change its nature. Its nature does not change. So those who survive with their original nature, they can be revived if they're slumbering or sleepy or negligent or whatever by God's word if presented to them correctly. Even if they're dead, they can be resurrected if the word of God is presented to them correctly. Now, you say, well, if they're dead, that comes the judgment day. We believe judgment day is continuous. This is Islamic belief. The judgment is continuous. There will be a final standing on day of judgment, but judgment is all the time. And the resurrection is not as important for the individuals that live and die as it is for community life that lives and die. And we should understand that Muhammad the Prophet, who received the Quran, became the leader of a new community, an international community now of over 1.25 billion on this earth. And we should understand that life was given to nations, to communities all over the planet Earth that were sleeping or mentally dead, but they were awakened to life by the Quran and the teachings and leadership and example of Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be the prayers and the peace. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We witness that God is one and cares about all of his creation, especially his human creation, the model human life that is exemplified in the life and history of Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be the prayers and the peace. For this session, the first day of this session, we'll be discussing revealed scripture, the cultivation of the human soul, its education, and the right perception of human identity, the right perception of human identity. If we understand the Quran and also the Bible on the genesis of man, how we came to exist as humanity and civilized society, how we came to exist on this planet Earth, if we understand it, we understand that the first identity for humans is the identity given by God, not what is given by Darwin about us descending from apes to monkeys. It's the identity that God revealed of us. And we believe that this identity was conceived in paradise and then later formed in the earth. The Prophet Muhammad, upon him be the prayers and the peace, is a model of human excellence for all believers to emulate. And these believers include more than Muslims. Yes, sir. God says in the Quran that he is an excellent model for any who believe in God and the last day. For any who believe in God and believe that they have to account before God believe that they should be accountable to their creator, God. Any who believes that, Muhammad is an excellent model for them. In the Quran, as also in previous scriptures, Adam, Abraham, Jesus Christ, and other prophetic figures are prophets, servants of God, are to be seen as singular, but also as plural figures. That means they don't only represent themselves individually, but what's more important for us students, for the students, I say us students because I'm a student, I'm always a student. The prophet said that education, to get knowledge, is an obligation on the Muslim from the cradle to the grave. And that's the spirit of most of us. Our spirit is to continue to seek the word of God and seek understanding. That's our spirit. And no matter how old we get on the calendar, that doesn't change. That spirit stays young. So each of these great prophets, and I didn't name them all, in this case, I just named a few of them, the main ones. Moses, I didn't mention Moses. But all of those prophets were types. They are a special type of what God wants us to become ourselves. And we should have the character. Our character should be growing more like the character of Muhammad the prophet, his character. Our choice that we choices that we make in life should be guided by the principles that Muhammad the prophet stood upon. So our choices will be good, will be right, will be the best choices. We should follow him in his excellence, generally speaking. He also was an excellent husband to his wives. So the more we know about him as a person in history, in Islamic history, firstly, the more we know about him as a person in history, the more we can benefit from his excellent model of human life that God has shown us in Quran. So I could say to you and be correct that when you look at Muhammad's human excellence, you're looking at what you were created to be yourself. You're looking at what you were created to be. God is not pointing us to something that is not our own life. He's pointing us to what he wants to show us is our each individual's life. What is each individual's life as that life was planned by God, the Creator, as that life was planned by God, the Creator. In Quran, God says, the second chapter of Quran, verse 150, quote, "So from whensoever thou startest forth, turn thy face in the direction of the sacred mosque. And wheresoever ye are, turn your face thither." Now this is old English, you know. Thither means turn your face that direction toward what has been mentioned, the mosque, the sacred mosque. "That there be no ground of dispute against you among the people of the book, that there be no ground of dispute against you among the people of the book. Except from them that are bent on wickedness. Except of them that are bent on wickedness. That means they're just obsessed with doing those bad things. They're fixed there. They can't get out of it. They're fixed there. They're determined to keep up their wicked ways. Okay? Bent on wickedness. So fear them not, but fear me. That's God speaking now. So fear them not, but fear me, and that I may complete my favors on you. And ye may be guided. And you know, in the beginning of the Quran, after Al-Fatiha, when you read in the Quran, God tells us of the book. It says, Hudan lil muttaqin. It is guidance for the pious, for those who reverence God and what He has established to be reverenced. The muttaqin. Hudan lil muttaqin. A similar verse I'll give you now, addressing what we are bringing forward now, is in verse 151 of the same chapter 2. And God says, a similar favor have ye already received, in that we have set among you, now the Arabic language is fikum, which literally means in you. And that we have sent among you a messenger of your own, rehearsing to you our signs and purifying you and instructing you in scripture and wisdom and in new knowledge. Now, let us go back to some of what we have recited from Quran for some comments. God says, to the prophet, turn your face toward the sacred mosque. And God says to all of us, after that, it says to you, speaking to all believers, all of us, you all turn your face to the sacred mosque. All believers, all followers of Muhammad, all Muslims, are instructed by Allah to turn our faces toward the sacred mosque. And He says, God says, that is, no matter from what place we are coming or from what place we are in, He wants us to turn our faces toward the sacred mosque. You know we do that in prayer. All right? He tells us, which is a promise from God, that if we do that, if we do that, follow that, no matter where we are on this earth, He will bring us all together. God says. He will bring us by it, He will bring us all together. So, a lot of struggling in the minds of scholars and religious leaders of Islam over our lack of unity.
Yes, sir.
The way to unite us is very plain and clear. No matter where we are, I'm in the United States, we're in the United States. Other leaders for their people in India, in Egypt, in Pakistan, in Spain, all over the world, in Africa, in many places, all over the world, in the Philippines, all over the world. God says, wherever we are, He will bring us together. But to be brought together, we all must be agreed in one Qibla. One Qibla. It is written the sacred mosque, Masjid al-Haram. Masjid al-Haram. This is no ordinary mosque. And you know it does not have any roof over it. The part that is covered by a roof is addition, added to accommodate the growing crowds that come to make Hajj pilgrimage every year. But when you make the circles around the Kaaba, salute the corner with the black stone in it, or wave to it and greet, if you can't go there and actually touch it and kiss it as Muhammad the Prophet did, at least you're supposed to wave to it. You're supposed to put your open palm up like that to it, facing it, when you make Hajj pilgrimage. And then you get there, get into the circle with the pilgrims, and you start going counterclockwise toward your left side, and you make circles around the Kaaba. That is the Masjid al-Haram. That's the sacred mosque with no roof over it. You say, well, what about the Kaaba, the house? It's got a roof over it. That is not the sacred mosque. That open ground that we walk on around the house, all of that is the Masjid al-Haram. That is the Masjid al-Haram. See, Masjid comes from the word meaning to prostrate, to make sajda, like we do in the prayer when we finish our prayers, putting our nose, forehead, nose, tip of our nose, and hands, and knees, and toes bent, like a baby crawl, getting ready to crawl or something. That is sajda. And the mosque takes this name from that position. Masjid, from sajda. So the masjid is the place of prostration, the place of sajda. It doesn't have to have any walls or anything. That's the masjid. Allah says, Al-Ardu Masjidillah. The earth is Allah's masjid. That means anywhere you make salat is masjid at that time. And if you do it on a regular basis, then that spot will become the masjid without any walls, no ceiling, nothing. That spot will become the masjid. I'm talking to my students. I am trying to teach my students and those that do not see them as my students. They do not see themselves as my students. I'm trying to teach all of you. Okay? Now, if you got a bad spirit, that ain't my fault. I didn't put it in you. And I wouldn't say that if I didn't want all of you to benefit. I want all of you to benefit, you see. whether you like me or not. You don't have to like me. Just like what I like. If you can dislike me, in fact, you can spit a bit on my picture, you know. Poosh. That's okay, as long as I know you like what I like. You like the Quran, you like the right understanding of Quran, you like Muhammad, you like the right understanding of Muhammad. I love you whether you hate me. I don't care. Praise be to Allah. Yes. So we're leading up to a conclusion. Now, I visited the Palestinian quarters and saw how bad they were being treated by the Israeli government, that regime at that time, and they still got them, maybe got a worse one now. And I was given the opportunity to go and visit Masjid al-Aqsa and made prayer there. And the guide, the Muslim guide, he showed us the direction for Qibla there. And he said, did you notice the name of this masjid? And I said, yes, I did. He said, is the masjid of the two Qiblas, Qiblatain, masjid Qiblatain. He said, is the masjid of the two Qiblas. The Prophet was leading his followers to turn toward Jerusalem in prayer. And Allah never told the Prophet to do that, but the Prophet was not a person raised in any of the religions. And he didn't accept to worship idols or to join the idol worshippers or the pagans in their way of life. So he was just like a person going on his own, just going on his own, not belonging to any order, religious order, or way. And he stayed that way until God began revealing to him. So he knew how important Jerusalem was to the Christians and the Jews. He turned his followers, he led his followers in prayer, and they faced that direction. And later on here in this presentation, we will come back to that. But for now, you know that it was changed. And the Prophet was instructed by Allah, by his creator, by our creator, to turn toward the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. Before Islam, it also was known also, that same city, though the Arabs called it Mecca, the same city was called Becca, B-E-C-C-A, Becca. Now, so we're commenting on this. It says, God says, and I quote, "We see the turning of your face for guidance. We see the turning of your face to the heavens, to the skies. Now shall we turn you to a Qibla that shall please you. Now shall we turn you to a Qibla that shall please you." So this is clearly saying that Muhammad had been turning in that direction toward Jerusalem, but was not pleased with it. He was not pleased with it. He didn't know what to do. And then God answered his situation, his stress situation. And God says, turn then your face in the direction of the sacred mosque. As I said before, wherever you are, turn your faces in that direction. Then it says, the people of the book know well that that is the truth from their Lord. Allah is not mindful of what they do. So what is this saying? Don't just read and don't think. What is this saying? This is saying that Christians and Jews knew and know that the better Qibla for human beings on this earth is the Qibla that is in the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, at that site. Little simple house, cubicle house, that is reported in legend, in tradition, cultural tradition, and legend of the elf, is reported as a house that was built by Abraham and his son. Ismail, not Isaac. Ismail. Peace be upon the prophets. Because all of those are mentioned in their prophets. What's so valuable about this Qibla? And why the people of the book don't acknowledge that Muhammad is turning to something that they're well aware of? And that he is turning to a direction that's more important for humanity there and all over the planet Earth than the Qibla that he was turning to before that was in Jerusalem. That one in Jerusalem, it is valued by the Jews so much because it has the ruins there of a great kingdom that they once had, and they said that kingdom was under the prophet Solomon, the wise. The kingdom of the temple, pardon me, of Solomon is there. And during his time, they achieved great success and had a great kingdom. And people of other races, other religions, other races, all of them were impressed with that kingdom. And many of them had a good life, non-Jews. People of different cultures, Africans and others, had a good life there because of the great advances they made for civilization. So the Jews turned back there and they weep at the Weeping Wall. Weeping the loss of a great kingdom. But that great kingdom was the kingdom of the Jews. And they addressed the Lord God as the Lord of Israel. So this bothered our prophet's heart that he's turning to in a direction towards something that is not compatible with his perfect, ideal human soul, character, and intelligence. God's way is always the best. So God says that He allowed them to worship that way. He allowed that to happen. God could have stopped it. God could have stopped him before he turned that way and had other followers following him. God could have stopped that. But God said it was a test for his followers, to bring out the strong.
Yes.
To bring out the strong that will be able to stand up to the challenge of the people of the book. Be able to stand up to Israel. To the Jews. To their leaders. Be able to stand up to them. And not tremble and shake, but be strong in their position behind Muhammad the leader, Muhammad the prophet, prayers and peace be on him. So God said it is to test them, to see who would turn around. Oh, now you're changing the direction. I'm through with this. You don't even know the direction. You're not even sure which direction we should be praying in. I'm through with this. I'm going to join the Jews or go back to the idolaters, go back to the idol worshippers. And he wanted to test them. You know, I noticed the wind, the strong winds that come in spring, March, introducing spring. Those winds are strong. They knock down weak stuff. Knock down rotten stuff. Knock down dead stuff. And then I notice at the end of the season, it comes again. Not quite like March. Strong winds come again. Knocking down weak stuff. Dead stuff. Rotten stuff. So when the next spring comes, the life is strong. The life is strong. And just in case it's not, the strong wind going to come again in the spring. March. That's the way of God. All of these things are signs, God says. Both in the Bible and in the Quran, that these things are signs. But most of the people are unaware or don't pay attention. Heedless, meaning they don't pay attention. I heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad once said, He made Umrah. He never made Hajj. He made Umrah. He was going to Egypt and Pakistan, so he got permission to make Umrah. Honorable Elijah Muhammad, calling it all white filth devils. And there was some white ones in the government leadership of the Hajj administration, Saudi Arabia. But they let him in there. And we got his pictures, kissing the black stone. Yes, we got it. And he said of his making the Umrah there, he said, when I kiss that stone, I feel like I was kissing myself. Now, what is the stone? Muhammad kissed the stone. The prophet himself. Prayers and peace be upon him. He kissed the stone. And one of the Khalifs said, if I hadn't seen him or known that he kissed that stone, I would never kiss it. That's what the Khalifa said. And I'm sure that that Khalifa didn't have the insight. Oh, who are you to say that the Khalifa, the companion of the prophet, didn't have the insight? Understand that he had no knowledge. Just a few years before, he saw Prophet Muhammad kiss that black stone. That Khalifa had no knowledge. They had to be educated in the scripture and in religion that they had no history for and had no life in. So they were actually ignorant of what the Christians knew and ignorant of what the Jews knew. Those Arabs that worship idols, they were ignorant of that. Even though this Khalifa never worshipped an idol either. He was like Muhammad. There were a few people that just didn't go for that ignorance. Few of the men, the people. In that time, didn't go for that ignorance. They just didn't have a religion. They're called Hunafa from Hanif, the one. And Abraham is called the Hanif. Ibrahim or Abraham the Hanif. And they translated, they, the Arabic-speaking people, had approved of the translation being Hanif, meaning upright in his human nature. Upright in his human nature. And that simply means that those people who were companions of each other, who associated with each other, because they had like minds and like spirit and like character and like values and principles, they had similar values and principles, their belief was that a human being should live out the best of his life. And he should build upon the best of his life. He should never follow weakness and something that brings down his life. He should only follow strength, and that makes his life more excellent. And it is said by God in the Quran that this was the nature and the position of Abraham, Ibrahim Hanifa, the Hanifa, upright in his nature. So continuing the comments on this. So the people of the book then, they're refusing to acknowledge something. That's great. But though it's not acknowledged by them that Muhammad Qibla is the better Qibla for all people, in their churches and in their synagogues, in their religions, it has been acknowledged by them in their search for the ideal society, how to establish the best government for the people. I believe France was the first to think, what is the best form of government for us to have, for all people, and have progress and few problems, or much less problems than we have with these other forms of government we have experienced in our history. And their thinkers, their philosophers, arrived at the idea of collective rule, collective authority, that we not call, just commonly referred to as democracy. Democracy. Our democracy in these United States comes to light, comes to birth upon a perception of the human being as the creation, as a creation with rights that you can't take away from him. You can't violate these rights. A human being, human person. And that these rights belong to each human person that will be accepted in the citizenry by virtue of their own natural composition. That they have these rights because they are human, simply because they are human. The identity is human. So if the identity is human, then they are entitled to these rights by virtue of their own identity and composition, not made by man, not made by government, but inherent in the very flesh of every person. This is the position that these great philosophers took. And we have this idea holding our political concept together for this nation. That's what holds the concept together. The belief in the inalienable rights or the unalienable rights of the individual human person. Once you accept to be a citizen here, you have that recognition, and those rights are not to be taken from you or violated. And no government, nobody can take those rights from the individual human person. So our government, France, our government and other Western governments that have that as the adhesive holding their ideology together, those governments have come to the Qibla of the Muslims. That's exactly what we believe. And I'm sure that they had the good intelligence and the good hearts of nature, those who put together the idea for us, for generations to come. I'm sure that they also understood that this applies also to the collective body of the people. It's more important as a possession of the human community than it is as a possession of the human individual. What we inherit is the community spirit, the spirit for a human community. We're not just inheriting properties that are to be established as the properties of individual human life. No! We are inheriting an urge, a spirit, a direction in our life, in our life stream, our life flow, our life stream. We are inheriting something that will connect us with others who have the same, and the purpose of it is for us to form a social community, a community of people. And that's why God says in the Quran, highly glorified is he, that they're the creatures that go about on this earth. They have communities like yours. It's in the Quran, and you have read it, many of you. That's to tell us that it's not only a description of life, of human life. This is a description of life, period. I mean, and you don't have to stretch your imagination too much to agree with those that say even plant life exists in communities. Grass want to be with grass. It so happened that way. Trees with trees, that's the forest, isn't it? Community life. If you don't have the right Qibla, and your life haven't been interrupted and confused by the world that rejects the real Qibla or is ignorant of the real Qibla, you will have that unconscious in your own nation. It'll be unconscious in your own makeup to come to that idea or that belief, that recognition that I'm human, I should mate with other humans. Other humans. If a black ain't human and you black, you should, the human shouldn't mate with the not human. No, human is first. Not Africa. Not Europe. Not white or black. Yellow or red. The human is first. That is your valuable property. That you're human. That's your sacred property, that you're human. Now, it'd be better that you be human and keep your own identity with your people. But if all your people turn to another Qibla that makes them wild and crazy and filthy and unhuman, inhuman, then you leave all your people and you become white or yellow or red or anything else rather than give up your humanity. Huh? See, this is where we should be when we read the Quran and reading about Muhammad's excellent model. This is where we should be. His excellent model ain't an Arab. The excellent model is not an Arab. The excellent model is the pure human type that God wants in every human being walking the earth. That's the excellent model. If God had wakened him up in his Arab identity and fashioned him to his Arab identity, he never would have been known. He's got nowhere. But God didn't wake up in him up in his Arab identity. God woke him up in his human identity. And God gives us a sign, a Qibla, that identifies us with our original nature, our original life, our original human pattern that God planned for all people. Boy, I didn't know this great wisdom could do all that. Yeah, Mr. Farad said when the time comes, you're going to hear siren. Praise be to Allah. It used to bother me, it doesn't anymore, because I know Allah is with us. And whatever happens, God says, come willingly or unwillingly. So the system just couldn't take it anymore. Now, when managing our life becomes too troublesome for us, and aren't we there right now?
Yes.
When it comes to the public life, it's too troublesome for us. We can't handle it. We can't handle it. We can't turn them around. We can't speak to them and they respect what we say. So what happens? We who want to keep the valuable human life, we turn to the supernatural. For those who are already in a religion, like Christians and Jews, we turn to our religion, to the strength of our religion. For Muslim saints, we turn to the strength of our religion. But sometimes right direction is so confused, even in our religion. So we say, well, I just can't find any help. I've been reading this Bible and I can't find any help. Now this may surprise you. I've been reading this Quran, I just can't find any help. I've heard it. So we turn to the supernatural by some name and sometimes by no name. So I don't know what his name is. I know there's a God. But I just can't be comfortable anymore with what I've been following. So you go on your own, right? You go on your own, still believing in the supernatural. That means something that's not subjected to the fate that we are subjected to, or that natural life is subjected to, something that does not get sick, something that does not get confused, something that does not get worried or something like that, you know, break down when difficulty comes. So we turn to something that we say is supernatural. I know there's a cause behind all this. I know there's something that brought all this world about, and something that caused me to be here, etc. So you turn to that, to your own imagination and to your own concern, and you say, I just can't follow this, what I've been given before. It ain't helping me. And if you remain sincere, God comes to you. Oh, yes. God comes to you. Oh, God comes to us too, not just the Father. Yes, yeah, just hold on. Yes. The people of the book have been told, and I put this in quote, no one has ascended into heaven except him who was already in heaven.
Right.
End quote. That's the Bible. Now understand that. No one has ascended into heaven except him who was in heaven already. All right. So this was left with the people of the book. Also, they were given a picture of Adam, or an idea, a concept of Adam, the first human being, as the forebearer of all humanity. First answer, the first human being, the beginning of humanity on the earth. He wasn't born of man's flesh. Adam was created. It is important for the students, my students, to comprehend what is given in the Quran regarding the necessary steps that have to be taken to establish one's life in the context of community, of community life. The natural progression for our spirit, our soul, and our human content that God created begins with us having a desire inside of ourselves to establish ourselves spiritually. But we don't think in those terms. Actually, the desire is to establish our soul. But we don't think in those terms. We just know we need to make something better inside of us. Our spirit and our thinking. When managing our life becomes too troublesome for us, we turn to the supernatural. Even if we keep the religion, still turn to the supernatural. You turn into him on your own. You don't have the preacher telling you how to turn to him, though you go to church. You don't have the synagogue or the imam of the masjid telling you how to deal with this, though you go to the masjid. It has become a private affair. You want to work this out between you and your Lord. Yes. When the Pharaoh, the mighty Pharaoh, was trying to break the spirit of the prophet who was defying him, he warned the prophet that I could cut you loose now. And if I banish you or cut you loose, what are you going to do? How are you going to make it in life? The prophet said to Pharaoh, he said, the one who created me will guide me. You notice how he put that? The one who created me will guide me. Now, what is that saying? I will be guided through my own human creation. Yeah, that's Kipling's again. That I'll be guided through my own human creation. That's what he was telling Pharaoh. The one who created me will guide me. He didn't have God with him, and then Pharaoh didn't say, well, you're talking about that one that's standing by you there? No, there was nobody around. Nobody but him talking to Pharaoh.
Assalamu alaikum. All right, dear listeners, it is now midnight. We're going to take a pause here. And we pray that you have really enjoyed what you're listening to. First, the presentation by Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed, and just a moment ago, a very beautiful presentation by Imam Warthi Muhammad. Both were beautiful. Imam Warthi Muhammad was acknowledging what it means to be human. As we, CWSC, is asking the question for the human family to be engaged in the direction that we are to turn to. And Imam Warthi Muhammad, Rahimahullah, gave that direction clearly to us. I'm going to reference it in this way, from my understanding, that the true Qibla is the human soul, the human spirit, the human psyche, which brings a connection with the Creator. The one who created me will guide me. Turning ourselves to the human creation in the human soul is the fable that will guide us to be upright, return us to the innocence and to the nature, the true nature of the human being. This is referencing Ibrahim and Ismail. Isma, the name. Nature, the name. The nature, the characteristics. And then, hold on 1 second.
Assalamu alaikum,
Martha
Nyla here.
Ramadan Mubarak. We've been carrying it on right behind, right with Haya, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing us to do. Praise be to Allah. Allahu Akbar. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Well, we will be right here with you and aligning. I didn't have it connected with AMG60 Rick Stan because I was playing some Ramadan sessions by Imam Warthi Muhammad and Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed. And now we will go into, the technology part of AMG60. We have to download and upload and then open up time, space for us to continue. So that's what we're doing here with AMG60 now.
Michelle. Okay. We will be there.
All right. Alhamdulillah. I mean, assalamu alaikum to everyone. Alhamdulillah, I love to hear those voices. That's wonderful. Alhamdulillah. If you don't stop looking at me, All right, everyone. Alhamdulillah. All right, so we're going to tune off right now and look forward to our return, inshallah. We're going to download this and reload it back up for your listening to, your pleasure in listening a little later. And we will choose another Ramadan session from Imam Warthy Muhammad. We have some from Khalifa Ramadan as well. May Allah be pleased with both, grant them both a high station in paradise. And as we continue on in this beautiful life, and may we understand why we turn to the unseen of ourselves. We see the physical, but we find the peace in the unseen because it is what has dictated or should be dictating to our being upright. Alhamdulillah. And then we see that in the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, which is a recognize in Muhammad the examples of those that came before him. And so when we're thinking of Muhammad, we're thinking of the community and how the life in the community is to be upright, have the presence of valuing our existence, all of our existence. Praise be to Allah. So the work is on, everyone, for us to erect whatever needs to be erected. And it starts within all of us erecting ourselves by conditioning ourselves to prayer, conditioning ourselves to the belief system that calls for us to be caring, that calls for us to communicate with one another, that calls for us to be connected with one another, to do things and with those of like minds, like spirits, and to collaborate into the community on all issues of concern that will bring peace to the human family. And we say that, and we thank you, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with that, and we say ameen. Alhamdulillah. All right, so we're going to close this session out, and we will, again, we will download this particular piece and re-upload it, and we will open up, again, avenues for our being here with one another throughout the night into Fajr, inshallah. Imam Abdul Aziz is online. We didn't connect, but we will be connecting, especially when it's time for, we will do the witr. So if you are getting in your prayers through tonight, whatever prayers you want to say prior to witr, then do so. And when he performs witr, we will all be in the same line, and we will do the witr, and then we will go into being ready, prepared for Fajr. All right. And at 6 a.m., inshallah, we will be on AM 360 presenting the 23rd juice. Imam Abdulaziz just finished doing the 23rd juice, but unfortunately we didn't have it recorded. So the 23rd juice will be played here on American Muslim 360. Alhamdulillah. All right, assalamu alaikum.